and how a doctor accidentally, back in the late 20s, found growing in a petri dish a mold that ended up being all the ingredients that was needed to develop penicillin. And when penicillin was matched with the right process, and we went through the whole thing, when the right connections were made, incredible things happened. Millions of people's lives have been saved because of the discovery of penicillin, and millions of people's health has been improved because of this one small discovery. And what's interesting about it is everything needed to make penicillin was already here. But until the right connections were made, penicillin didn't exist. Penicillin didn't exist in a way that it was useful to humanity. But when the right connections were made, incredible results happened. That's what this series is about. We're calling Connecting the Dots. When the right connections are made in our spiritual lives, incredible things start to happen. And so the first week we talked about having a God connection. That there's a connection that you and I need on a regular basis with God. And when that connection is made, powerful things happen in our life. Last week we talked about a group connection. When we have a connection with the body of Christ in the context of a small group or a close relationship, a community, when we have community in the family of God, then powerful things are the result in our life. Now, or we said incredible things. So what are those things? Many of our God-given needs, and we're going to explain this in a few minutes, many of our God-given needs are met when we have a group connection. Isolation leads to emptiness, and community leads to fulfillment. So here's what I'm going to do this morning. We're going to kind of do part two of group connection, and I'm going to be giving you a lot of scripture. We're going to be looking at a lot of different scriptures this morning. I'm going to move through them fast. You can jot them down if you want. If you have a bulletin, I encourage you to take it out. I'm going to give you a lot of thoughts today, because here's what I want you to see. When you leave today, I want you to see how deeply rooted in Scripture the ideas that I'm giving you this morning actually are. They're not new. They're not a trend. They're not a fad. They are deeply buried inside the eternal Word of God that bring a revelation to our heart about this powerful connection. So here's the bottom line that we're basically sharing this morning. You and I need each other. Matter of fact, would you just turn and look at the person next to you? Would you do that and just say, "You need me"? Would you do that? Look around and just say, "You need me." Now to be fair, would you say, "I need you"? I need you too. That's the bottom line here this morning. Now, if you've got something to write with, let me give you six reasons this morning that we need each other. Six reasons that we need each other. Here's the first one. We need people who will walk with us. We need people who will walk with us. The first thing Jesus did when he came to earth is he gathered a small group of people before he even started his public ministry. In fact, most of Jesus' public ministry wasn't even successful if you define success as sustainability. Now think about it with me for a minute. I know there were the crowds. I understand there were the hillsides. I know there were 5,000, and I know there were fish and loaves, and I know all of that, but think about it for a minute. They all came out on Palm Sunday. They were lined along, jamming the streets, waving the big palm leaves, but they were out on the streets earlier in the week when they thought that Jesus was there to do their business. But when they found out on Friday that Jesus was there to do his Father's business, they were gone. And so I'm just saying that Jesus' ministry, his public ministry, in that way was not all that successful. The best part of his ministry that endured in his absence, sustainability, was the small group of disciples that he gathered. Though small group of disciples ultimately spread the news about Jesus all over the known world. And that profound impact came from a small community that Jesus gathered unto himself, and he walked with them for 3 years. And from that depth of community came a profound impact that shot around the world. Now, if you go all the way back even to the beginning of time, even the beginning of humanity, even the beginning of Scripture in Genesis chapter 3:18, the Bible says, the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Even in the beginning, now think about this, it's not good for man to be alone. You and I were created to not be alone. Even before the first sin was ever committed, God made us for community in our perfect state. How much more do you think we need community in the state we're in now? We're not in our perfect state. We're not the way God made us. We're in a broken and a cursed and a fallen world. And we participate in that common sense of humanity. But when Jesus created us, when God created us, He created us with a need. We need people that will walk with us. Several years ago, back in the 90s, I was on a missions trip in Argentina. And we were doing services every night. We were doing some outreach ministry in the parks in the day. We were doing services at night. And I think we did 7 in a row. And so somebody in the group, I don't know, had access from one of the churches. They wanted us to go and do an interview at a local radio station that was a Christian station in Buenos Aires. And so we went to the station. They were all excited about this. Hey, you know, the team's here. We're going to do all this different ministry that we had prepared for. And we'll be giving testimonies and come to the church tonight. And then I was going to be speaking and the translator was there with us. And they said, this is going out to 60,000 people all over Buenos Aires. And so we go in the room. We're all hyped up. There's I don't know, 8 or 10 people around, some in the other room behind the glass doing whatever they do, you know. And you're in there with all the egg crate, soundproof, microphone, sitting at the table, all this, you know. And they're about to go on the air. And I'm just sitting there thinking, you know, everybody in the room speaks Spanish. I speak English. They're all talking. I don't know what's going on. And I got to go, you know, on the air. And so, you know how you just sit and kind of tap your hand or something like that? You're just waiting for time to pass. Not really anything to do. Well, that's what I was doing. Except for, I was making a gesture that meant absolutely nothing to me. But just so happened to be the single most vulgar gesture you could make in Argentina. And I'm not going to show it to you, but I was doing it. And the missionary looks at me, who I didn't even know that well, and he goes... And I went, yeah, I don't even know what subject are we on? And he goes, and he's just looking at me, and I'm thinking, and he's such a sweet, humble man. I'm thinking, what on earth? What? So I start shaking my head. I'm like, no, but I keep doing it. And he says, and he's trying not to alert. And so I just went and grabbed the table and stopped. And then later on, unfortunately, it was so much activity in the room, nobody noticed. But later on, he came to me and he said, oh, dear brother. He said, that's a really bad sign. And he wouldn't even tell me what it was. I said, well, what does it mean? He goes, oh, no. No, I couldn't tell you that. I couldn't tell you that. But so I went and pried it out of his son. And then you're kind of a teenager. And then I was mortified. And you know what I thought that day? Thank God there was somebody walking with me. I'm so grateful there was somebody walking with me that knew more than I do and could help me out of the jam that I was in. We need people to walk with us. You need people to walk with you. I need people to walk with me because we don't know everything. We haven't been everywhere. We haven't seen everything. We're better together. And in this setting that we're in this morning, it's not possible to develop that kind of relationship. In fact, 1 Corinthians 14:26, listen to what it says. What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All these must be done for the strengthening of the church. These things all can't even happen in this setting. Everybody has a hymn. Everybody has a word. Everybody has a song. Everybody has a tongue. Everybody has a... Well, what should we do here? What's your scripture? What's your scripture? Go ahead and tell your scripture. What's your song? Go ahead and sing your song. Can you imagine? We'd be here until 9:30 tonight. And that would just be the floor. You'd have to come back next week for us to get the balcony. if it's important that everyone has a role in participation in conversation in the Christian community, how can that happen in a setting like this? It has to happen in a smaller setting. So this is not this morning a community. This is a crowd. You can experience a lot of powerful things with God in a crowd and still be alone. And in the end, you're still just that. You're still just alone. But community, I'll be giving you a thought for every point. Community is God's answer to loneliness. And by the way, when I say loneliness, I don't mean some deficiency in us. I don't mean some sinful thing in us. Before sin ever existed, God created us with loneliness in us. It's not good for man to be alone. We have God created, God given loneliness. It's designed that we might draw together under the umbrella of Christ. So the Connect the Dots vision for us this morning is not just to not to become a crowd of believers, but to become a community of believers. Here's the second one. We need people who will partner with us. You know that God created you and I to do something. He did create us to be, but He also created us to do. God had purposes in mind long before you and I ever existed. And He actually made you to fit the purpose. He didn't make the purpose to fit you. And when you find that purpose, you're fulfilled. And until you find it, you will be unfulfilled. And once you find it, you still will be unfulfilled, because only when you realize how big God's dream for your life is will you realize that you can't meet it by yourself. And when you partner with somebody else, when you partner with a group and see those dreams begin to come to pass, there is an explosion. Those dots are connected and incredible things start to happen. See, God has interconnected our dreams together in such a way that when we work together, we fulfill each other's dream. And then there's a powerful connection. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. Community is God's answer to significance. Community is God's answer to significance. The most significant things in the world that have ever been done have been done in partnership with a group, not alone. We spent all of 2012 basically talking about this single idea. We were made for more. We even had a song about it. So what do you think this church would look like if everybody inside it served in partnership with somebody else? Can you imagine what this church would look like? That's why we created 30Serve. We wanted to give everyone a chance to see what it would be like to serve in a team. Can you imagine what this city, can you imagine what Shelby County would look like if this church got serious about partnering together with somebody and seeing the dreams God has put in our heart fulfilled? I have had the rare opportunity to see it happen. I've actually had the rare opportunity to watch it. When Hurricane Katrina struck the Gulf Coast of the United States, and I was standing 2 miles from the strike zone and stood there and rebuilt a church in that city, I saw what the body of Christ could do when it partnered with other people. We fed 1,700 people Thanksgiving lunch in our parking lot, cooked 275 turkeys all night long. You hadn't done something, you cooked 275, then deboned them by hand. We had an assembly line, a turkey deconstruction assembly line. And we thought we could put more turkeys in the cooker than we could, and then we found out that was too many, and they were bouncing around there like tennis shoes in a dryer. We had to get them out of there. And some of you were there. How many of you came down? There's a few of you came down for that, right? Remember that? But we fed there. And then you know what? 10,000 people were treated medically in our medical clinic on that campus. 55,000 people came through. Vehicles came through with people in them that we put relief products and things in their car and prayed with them. Cars would pull over to the side. We would pray and people would just weep as they lost everything. I've seen the body of Jesus in action when it comes into partnership and dreams are fulfilled. I've seen it and I'll never forget it and I'll never be the same because of it. Can you imagine what would happen with that kind of partnership? There's a Zambian proverb that says, when you run alone, you run fast. But when you run together, you run far. It's powerful, isn't it? Here's the third one. We need people who will fight for us. We need people who will fight for us. We all need somebody who will defend us, who will protect us, who have our back, who stand in guard with us. There's a couple in our church that sits right here, O.C. and Eric Harden. Eric had surgery this week. He's 80 years old. But I'm telling you, every time I see them, it doesn't matter how close I get, they will reach out. It's like they have go-go gadget arms. They will reach out and suck me into their self. And they will hug me and love all over me, and they will look at me and say, they'll stop me, grab me by the shoulders and look at me. I go to walk off and they say, no, you come back here, I got to tell you something. They'll square up my shoulders and say, I want you to know something. I've heard them say it a dozen times. We pray for you every day. We pray for you two boys that they're going to be healed of diabetes. We are praying and we are believing God's word for you and your kids and your life. We pray for you every day. And can I tell you something? You know what they're saying? We got your back. We got your back. And I tell you, every time I go near them, I love to go around them. Every time I go around them, I feel like my stature grows. I just stand up and go, yes, 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 I'm going to make it. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to go on because they got my back. And I know whatever the enemy is coming to try to do, he's going to have to get through them to get to me. They got my back. Every now and then a challenge will come along and I don't know how to handle it. And somebody will say, hey, Pastor, why don't you let me handle that? Wow. Do you know how awesome it is to know that somebody's got your back? There's some issues in life you can't fight alone. You have an enemy waiting to attack you like a lion, waiting for you, waiting for your weak spot, waiting for the vulnerable moment, waiting till your back is turned. You've got an enemy waiting for you to be weak. He won't attack you from the front. He won't attack you when you're strong. He's going to wait till your worst moment, and he's going to pounce on you then. And it's not a if, it's a when. And when that happens, who's got your back? That's a powerful question. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. Two are more powerful than one. You know why? Because two can stand back to back. And no matter what attack comes, you're always coming at somebody's front. But one has a blind spot. One's back is open all the time. Community is God's answer to defeat. We're defeated too often because we're alone. Ecclesiastes 4:10 says, if one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Here's the fourth one. We need people who will grieve with us. We need people who will grieve with us. Everybody experiences loss sometime. In fact, Jesus promised it. In this world, not you might, in this world, some people, no, in this world, you will have trouble. It's a guarantee. It's coming. We live in a broken world. We talked about it a few minutes ago. But there's a place in loss, there's a place in pain where you don't need to be fixed and you don't need a word and you don't need a vision. What you need is just someone to hurt with you who just says, I am so sorry. And maybe even says, I can't even imagine how you feel right now, but I want you to know that I love you and I am so sorry that this has happened. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it with you. I hate it for you. I hurt with you. There's a point in hurt that you need that. And that's really, if you've heard of the ministry in our church called Grief Share, that's really what Grief Share is about. Grief Share is for people in this ministry, for people who've lost a loved one. People who come together, it's called Grief Share. And share, not just make each other miserable, but when you distribute the grief evenly among a bigger group, it's not so heavy for anybody. It lightens the load. And I don't know if you know this, but over 80 people have gone through our 13-week group ministry of Grief Share. And most of them don't even go to our church. They just recognize the need that I can't get through this by myself. And so they show up. They hear about it and they show up. An interesting study was done. I caught this one night several years ago, and I've never forgotten it. I don't remember Dateline, what it was on, but there's an interesting study done in America that studied the parallel between physical health and economy and income. In other words, the finding was the higher a person's income to a degree, the better their health was. So you had better access to care, better doc, whatever. Whatever the thing was. So people whose income was lower tended to have worse health. People whose income was higher tended to have better health. There was one exception. The exception they found was among Hispanic immigrants. And there seemed to be no correlation among Hispanic immigrant groups that they studied in America between economy and health. So a person could have a very low economy or a higher economy, and their health seemed to be just as good either way. The only conclusion that was offered, listen to this, was that the Hispanic immigrants had a close-knit sense of community. In other words, since the community was stronger, the storms of life were absorbed as a group, lessening the blow on the individual and providing better long-term health. Fascinating. And when the children of the first-generation Hispanic immigrants begin to adopt American ways and American culture and become more isolated, regardless of their economy, their health started to go down from what their parents was. Fascinating. We don't have everything right. So we can stand to learn a lot from each other. Romans 12:15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn." Community is God's answer to despair. Pastor Larry wrote about it in the devotional. I don't know if you read it on Friday. He said, when you share a tragedy with people who love you, it cuts the tragedy in half. When you share rejoice with people who love you, it doubles the blessing. And that's the truth. Here's the fifth one. We need people who will challenge us. We need people who will challenge us. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. The truth is, and this happens to everybody, sometimes we get distracted, sometimes we get stuck in our own spiritual growth. And when we're with other believers that can challenge us with their own lives. Look, I was just trying to think as I was getting ready for this message, how many ways have other believers challenged me? And oftentimes I'm challenged by other people, just whether they say anything to me or not, just by the way they live their life. But you have to be close enough to somebody to see that. And I was thinking of the ways I've been challenged when I've heard people pray sometimes. I've been challenged by another person's passion. I'm challenged when I see a person who's overcoming a burden, overcoming a challenge, dealing with a tragedy. And the way that they do that, the way a person endures hard times, man, it challenges me sometimes when I see somebody who perseveres in faith and joy. People challenge me with their spiritual hunger. When I hear somebody just say, man, I've got to get closer to God. I got to know God better. You've been up next to somebody like that. And man, just the heat off their life challenges you. I've been challenged by people's authenticity. Just somebody who's just real. Just open and real. And man, it gives you a longing in your heart for something pure. It gives you a longing in your heart to go after God in purity and honesty, spiritual hunger. And sometimes I'll read a book and an insight in a book that I read, or sometimes somebody will read a book and they'll tell me about it. Man, it'll just challenge me. People's lives will challenge you. When you get close enough to a group, I guarantee you there'll be somebody in that group who will challenge your life. And sometimes we just need someone to challenge us to take the next step. To take the next step in our own spiritual growth. To take the next step in our own spiritual journey. Sometimes we need people who can help us find it. And then encourage us to do it. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. You hear that word spur? Spur one another on? You ever been close to a pen of chickens and seen two roosters in the same pen? I have. You ever seen the little knife blade-like thing sticking off the back of their leg? It's called a spur. And when one of those little chickens will get out of line, those roosters will fly up, jab it in the back, and get it back in line. You know, you and I need people every now and then that'll just spur us on. To what? To misery? To frustration? No. To love and good deeds. Community is God's answer to stagnation. The problem we sometimes have in the church is we try to do challenge without relationship. The problem we have in the world is we try to do relationship with no challenge. But in the context of a loving relationship, you have a powerful connection where you and I can both be challenged. Now here's the last one. We need people who will encourage us. Everybody has days. Everybody has seasons. Everybody has heavy moments where they're just discouraged. Circumstances, bad news. Even our own actions sometimes discourage us. We pull ourselves down, sometimes just by the choices we make. But we all need to be discouraged. Sometimes we don't need to be challenged. We just need someone to encourage us, someone to speak life to us, to remind us of what God's done in our life and that God's not done working on our life. Sometimes we need someone to speak words of faith and life and truth to us, and they strengthen our inner man. Now, I want you to watch this. I found this in my own devotional reading probably 7 or 8 years ago. Encouragement is God's answer to a hard heart. Encouragement is God's answer to a hard heart. Listen to Hebrews chapter 3, 12 and 13. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. You and I have a heart that can turn away from God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. In other words, sin is a mirage that can suck you in and trick you in such a way that you begin to believe the wrong things, and as a result, your heart gets cold. Your heart becomes hardened. And it can happen to you and it can happen to me. And it was such an important thing to God and such an important thing to the writer of Hebrews that he said this ought to happen daily. Wow. Daily? There's not a lot of things you can do every day. There's not a lot of requirements the Bible puts on our life every day. But this is such an important and such a powerful thing in Christ's body that he says, encourage one another daily. Without encouragement, we sometimes are deceived into believing that the world's ways are better than God's ways. Sometimes when our heart begins to drift, we think, hey, go ahead and cheat. Go ahead and lie. Go ahead and steal. Go ahead and have that one night stand. Go ahead and just surf the internet and it won't matter much. You're discouraged. You're tired. You're worn out. You're weary. You're empty. You're lost. Go ahead and pull some pornography up. It's not a big deal. Go ahead and try to wash your troubles away with a few drinks. Go ahead and take the pills and see if it's not going to help you. And what happens is our hearts become hardened and cold without encouragement. And what we actually is encouraged to take on the ways of the world. We're encouraged to cope with life using the world system rather than God's. And often, it's sad. It's sad when you see it. It's sad when you do it. It's sad when you feel it. And oftentimes it boils down to nothing more than we just didn't have anybody to encourage us. And nobody in this room is such a superhero that they don't need somebody to encourage them. I need encouragement. You need encouragement. We all have those seasons, those moments, those times where we just need somebody to put their arm around us and say, you know what, I remember when you first met God. Or I remember that time when, you know, that was bad, but look how God brought you through. And, you know, you were just on my mind, and I just wanted you to know, I believe this is going to be just like that. I believe God's going to bring you through this too. You have no idea what it does to a person's soul just to be encouraged. just to throw off the old arrogant, independent nonsense that we don't, you and I have a God-created need for each other that was put in us before sin. We just need people to speak words of faith and life and truth and affirmation. I've been so surprised at times how my mood has changed in some of the darkest hours when I thought, oh no, what now? And I've been surprised, not always, but I'm surprised at times how that heaviness will just lift so fast up underneath somebody else's encouragement. Just, you just feel so, when you get isolated, man, the world, the problems seem much bigger than they are. When you get in community with other people and fellowship, and you come out of that cave and you get around other people, man, you'd be surprised. The burden begins to be distributed among the group, and everybody's carrying a little bit. And when that happens, I'm okay, I'm good. Oh, you can be like Frank Sinatra, you can do it your way. And you know what? You can even survive. Maybe. But let us ask the people closest to you how that's going. Because you're probably taking it out on them. But hey, you did it yourself. Right? I heard somebody once say they were a self-made man. Problem is they didn't make much. I'd rather be a God-made man. Or maybe even just recognize the fact that we already are. And give God a chance to return us back into the plan He has for us. So I'm going to ask our worship team to come. Encouragement strengthens our faith. Listen to this. And softens our heart. Softens it. Our hearts need to stay pliable and moldable and bendable and flexible, so God can do what He wants to do. Proverbs 15:23, listen to this. This is a very powerful verse. A man finds joy in giving an apt reply. And how good is a timely word? How good is a timely word? Man, I can remember when we were in Mississippi. And we were at a very difficult point in our church. And actually that night at our church was going to be a very powerful, influential decision was going to be made at our church. There was going to be a vote. And I can remember standing in the bathroom. I can take you to, I believe it was Chong's Garden. And I had got up from the lunch table with a few of our staff. I'd gone to the bathroom. And I can take you to the tile I was standing on with my phone right. And man, it was rough and it was dark. And I was really, really struggling. And I could remember a friend calling, and I picked the phone up, and he didn't know what was going to happen that night. He didn't know any of that. He knew generally, but he didn't know specifically. He called me and he said, I just want you to know something. I was praying for you this morning. I didn't even know he prayed for me. So I want you to know I was praying for you this morning. I really feel like, he said, I've never done anything like this in my life. He said, I really feel like God wanted me to call you and encourage you and tell you that He's not done with you there yet. And He's going to use you. And He's not done. He's going to help you. He's going to help you overcome. And he spoke up a lot of things in my life. And can I tell you, when I walked out of that bathroom, it was like a phone booth. I went in Clark Kent and came out Superman. That word, do you hear what Proverbs says? How good is a timely word? Word of faith and life and encouragement. You have somebody just speak a timely word to you. You know what? Most of the time, there are the gifts of the Spirit. But you even got to be close enough to somebody to have that happen usually. And the gifts of the Spirit can happen to complete strangers. But oftentimes those penetrating words of encouragement come from people who know us. You ever had somebody just speak a timely word to you? Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad I needed that. You, you, You ever just pull the cover over your head and say, I'm going to stay home today, I'm going to skip church, and then you push yourself through and get ready and drag the kids and do through all that, and you get here, and then somebody speaks a word to your heart, and you go, oh, I'm so glad I came. To think I almost missed that. See, that's the value of being connected to the body of Christ in community. These kind of connections, though, don't happen accidentally. They only happen on purpose. If you're waiting for one to happen to you, it's not going to happen to you. You have to participate. The best way that I know to tell you to do that is to go try a life group. The directory that we gave you at the beginning of the service gives you a list of the names and the pictures and the places and the types of groups and the meeting times. In just a minute, I'm going to dismiss and let you out. And our life group host and leaders are in the foyer waiting for you. And I'm not going to say you're going to sign up in the very first meeting. It's going to be like fireworks. I'm just going to say relationships take intentionality. You have to do them on purpose. And they're not perfect because they're filled with people just like you and me. But they're important in the body of Christ. And all the things that I mentioned are possible inside relationships. Outside relationship, none of them are possible. And so last week, we had dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of people go and sign up for a group. And some of our groups are full, and some of our groups are overfull. But there are a lot of groups that are up. And the leaders of them are going to receive you. So here's what I'm going to simply do. If you just stand with me. If you haven't found a life group yet, every group in Kingwood is called a life group. If it's a group, it's a life group. And there's all kinds of varieties and types and shapes and seasons of life and meeting times and everything else. If you haven't found a life group yet, or maybe last week you came and said, hey, I looked at this, but I need to think about it. I need to go home and read it. Fine. We're back now. Maybe you weren't here last week. This is the first shot you've heard. Fine. It's okay. Go and just talk to our leaders. Find out what their group's about. Sign up. Try them out. Here's what I want you to do. The most important thing today, like we said with penicillin, if you'll make the right connections in your spiritual life, powerful things are going to happen. Would you pray with me this morning? Lord Jesus, I thank you today that you've included us in the body of Christ. You didn't have to, and you wouldn't have been wrong if you didn't. But love required it. And so, Lord, I thank you today that you love us. And you love us enough to work with us and use us even as we are. You love us so much you won't leave us where we are, though. You want to bring us on to higher and higher places. And because we're only a part of the body, we can't do that without the rest of the body. And so, Lord, this morning I pray that you would help us to see our God-given need and to take a step toward meeting it and receiving your solution to the need that you've put in us. Lord, I bless you today, and I pray that you fill this church with deep roots, deep connections. Lord, for the one who's come to service for the first time, Lord, I pray they feel an open door today. For the one who's been here for a few months, Lord, that they would feel that this is a window of time for them to step in. The one that's been here for years and years and years, God, I pray that you would keep that connection strong, because we never outgrow it and we always need it. So, Lord, we bless you today. We pray for your best.